Chapter 4. Petty.
They have no allies.
High Priestess Chari Hunzrin reminded her mother, Matron Mother Shakti.
They look down upon the whole of the city from the recesses of the west wall high above. They huddle behind their driders and sneer at all who are not Melarni.
I am well aware of the zealotry of Jindia Melarn, Shakti replied. And true. It would be hard to name any as allies of this precocious young house, but Matron Mother Mez Barris Armgo is no enemy to the Melarni in these times.
The mention of the Matron Mother of the Second House quieted Chari. Barris and Del Armgo had been House Hunzrin's most important ally for many decades. House Hunzrin thrived through trade and by controlling most of the agriculture in Menzo Berenzon. Under the stern and disciplined leadership of Shakti, the family Hunzrin had greatly advanced in wealth and a subtle stature. Their ranking had not changed, and they remained the 11th house, cheated from ascension by the insertion of House Do'Urden onto the ruling council, after the abdication of Matron Mother Xerath and House Zor'Lauren. Surely the other houses held in check by that unusual, indeed unprecedented creation by Matron Mother Quenthal had been simmering in outrage ever since, particularly House Duskrin, the 9th house, whose ambitious Matron Mother openly coveted a seat on the ruling council and had been denied yet again. But such formalities had never impressed Shakti Hunzrin. She was more concerned with actual power and wealth over ceremony and formality. Her family was often ridiculed as stoneheads because of their work with the farms. But to her and the other nobles, that underestimation offered opportunity more than it wounded pride. Past a bend in the avenue, rounding a large stalagmite mound, the two women came in sight of House Melarn, unmistakable because it was fashioned with the most unusual architecture in the City of Spiders. Melarn was the newest of Menzo Berenzon's major houses, formed of a union between House Kennefin and House Horlbar, a joining of purpose and spirit that arose from the ashes of war a century before, where the two allied houses battled against House Tuintarl, then the 8th house. Tuintarl was destroyed, and the combined houses, under the name of Melarn, replaced the deposed matron mother of House Tuintarl on the ruling council. Among the new Melarni were many drow left orphaned by the fall of the sister city of Chednasad, a community distinguished by its web-like walkways. Those refugees had brought Chednasad's unique architecture with them to Menzo Berenzon, and it was clearly on display here in the gracefully swaying bridges of spider webs that filtered back and forth, climbing the west wall of the cavern to the Melarni front door, 100 feet and more from the cavern. Matron Mother Shakti held her daughter back with an upraised arm and quietly uttered a minor spell. A magical hammer appeared in the air across the way, just to the right of the lowermost web pathways of the facade of House Melarn. On Shakti's command, the hammer tapped against the wall once and then again. Then it disappeared, and Shakti motioned for Chari to follow. By the time they neared the area, the cracks of a concealed doorway were evident in the wall, and the stone fell away as they approached, revealing a tunnel. Within stood First Priestess Kernil Melarn, who bowed in proper deference to Matron Mother Hunzrin and bade her to follow. This was no ordinary First Priestess, Shakti prudently reminded herself. Normally, that title was held by the eldest daughter of a noble family. But Kernil was not related to Jindia. Jindia was the eldest daughter of Matron Mother Jirlis of House Horlbar, and Kernil had been the Matron Mother of House Kennefin. When the two houses merged into House Melarn, Kernil Kennefin had allowed Jindia to become Matron Mother of the new House Melarn. It was a strategic move, the other Matron Mothers knew, because the too clever Kernil had expected that the first Matron Mother of the new house would surely be killed in the chaotic aftermath of the joining. But Jindia had survived, and Kernil had accepted her role as First Priestess, though surely she was more than that. Deep and down the trio traveled, far into the western wall and far below the compound of House Melarn. They passed many guard stations on their journey, manned by beastly driders. No house was more enamored of and protected by the horrid half-drow, half-spider abominations as the zealots of House Millarn, who celebrated the torture of morphing a drow into a drider like other families might celebrate the birthday of a favored daughter. In a deep and secret room, protected by hundreds of feet of solid stone and magical wards, both arcane and divine, the two Hunsrins were presented to Matron Mother Jindia Millarn, the youngest matron mother of Menzo Baranzon, and by far the youngest member of the city's ruling council, if one ignored the presence of the Iblith matron mother Darthir Dawerden. And none was more pleased to ignore that abomination than Jindia Millarn. The circular chamber was ringed by a raised walkway, upon which stood Drider guards, looking even larger because they stood several feet above the lower floor. All clutched adamantine long spears, and all seemed eager to put those deadly weapons to use.
"I am pleased that you answered my call," Matron Mother Jindia said to her guests,
and she motioned for the visiting Hunsrins to sit around the small rectangular table, as Kernil took her place to the right of her matron mother.
"You insisted that your information was important to my family," Shakti Hunsrin replied. "And my prayers to the Spider Queen assured my safety."
"Indeed, to both," Jindia replied. "You are aware of the events in Kuzor Lauren? That the dwarves reclaimed their complex and expelled Matron Mother Xerith?"
"Yes."
"And the present disposition of Matron Mother Xerith and her family?"
"Her powerful family," Shakti remarked.
"Her heretical family,"
Kernil corrected with a sneer. The remark surprised the Hunsrin guests. By all estimates, House Millarn was in no position to engage powerful House Sorlaren, even if Matron Mother Xerith's family had been wounded by the advance of the dwarves.
"You are pleased by this development, no doubt,"
Matron Mother Jindia said bluntly. Matron Mother Shakti stared at her counterpart curiously, with more than a little trepidation. She wasn't about to admit to any such thing, particularly given House Sorlaren's close alliance with House Bayenri.
"It is no secret that House Hunsrin feared the creation of the city of Kuzor Lauren,"
the always blunt and brutal Jindia stated.
"City,"
she said again, and she spat upon the floor.
"It was a servile satellite of House Bayenri, of course, created so that House Bayenri could take from you the most profitable trade to be found.
The point is moot. Kuzor Lauren is no more," said Matron Mother Shakti,
and she nudged her daughter under the table, warning the volatile Chari against saying something they might both regret.
"But did Matron Mother Bayenri lose?" Jindia Millarn asked slyly.
"She sent the demons forth, and the demons were defeated by the dwarves, so say the reports."
"And so the dwarves reclaim Gontalgrim and fire anew the great forge," Jindia agreed. "These particular dwarves are known associates of Jarlaxle and Bregand Earth."
Despite her great and practiced discipline, Shakti Hunsrin couldn't help but fidget at the mention of Jarlaxle. Bregand Earth had long been a thorn in the side of House Hunsrin and a threat to Shakti's plans for trade dominance beyond Menzo Baranzon. Bregand Earth's loyalty to House Bayenri could not be doubted.
"Your easiest route to the world above is no more," Jindia said. "Your caravans will not get past the armies of the dwarves. But if Jarlaxle is able to secure an agreement between House Bayenri and the new kingdom of Gontalgrim,"
she let it hang there tantalizingly.
"The Spider Queen would abandon her,"
Shakti said, because she really had no other retort.
"Are you going to tell her that?"
Jindia asked with a laugh. Shakti stared at her hard.
"Among all the matron mothers of Menzo Baranzon, are you not the one who claims closest communion with the Spider Queen?"
she asked very seriously.
"Would Loth accept such a move by Matron Mother Bayenri?"
"The same Matron Mother Bayenri who instituted a Darthir, a wretched elf as a matron mother with a seat on the ruling council,"
Jindia countered.
"Who put Matron Mother Dawerden ahead of you on the ladder of Menzo Baranzon's hierarchy?"
Your insults are uncalled for, Chari Hunsrin remarked.
No insult, said Jindia. Simple truth, and unpleasant to both of us. Perhaps, though, this abomination Matron Mother Dawerden is a test. Not for Quenthel Beanri, but for the rest of us. Do we allow the Darthir to continue as a voice on the ruling council?
Or do we tear her down? Asked Shakti. We are back to this, then. Did we not just see this play with the demon assault on House Dawerden? That failure strengthened Matron Mother Dawerden's reputation and strengthened Matron Mother Beanri's hand.
So you are accepting of an agreement between Matron Mother Beanri and Bregan de Earth to move goods through the Dwarven City?
I do not believe that such an agreement exists.
Oh, it exists,
Matron Mother Jindia said confidently.
Jarlaxle's influence is clear to see. And who would benefit more from such an agreement than that opportunistic, heretic mercenary and his filthy band of male rogues?
The leader of House Malarn turned to the side and motioned to a Drider guard, who put a hand against a concealed plunger on the wall and pressed. Unseen stones slid, and a secret door fell open. To Shakti and Chari's surprise and fear, an impressive drow female strode out from the darkness. She wore the robes of a high priestess, indeed those of a first priestess of a house, and her emblem was well known.
Kiri Zorlaren, Matron Mother Shakti's fingers signed to her daughter.
The newcomer moved to the table, summoned a magical disc, a circle of blue light hanging in the air at about waist height, and sat down upon it.
We were speaking of male rogues, Matron Mother Jindia said.
A redundant description,
Kiri replied with no small amount of contempt behind her words. The Hunsrin Matron Mother and daughter glanced at each other, somewhat confused. Wasn't House Zorlaren known as the house most lenient with and most deferential to its men? House Barrison Delarmgo and House Zorlaren had long been the two Menzo Berenir houses known to promote men high into the house hierarchy. But with Barrison Delarmgo, there had never been any doubt that the highest-ranking male noble, usually the weapons master, remained subservient to the lowest of the high priestesses. In House Zorlaren, such was not always the case.
You know, First Priestess Kiri Zorlaren, Matron Mother Jindia said, and the guests at her table nodded.
I am soon to join House Dawerden, Kiri informed them. My sister, my brother, and many of the male cousins are already there, strengthening the ties between House Dawerden and Sorcerer.
And the ties with House Beanri,
Shakti dared to remark. Kiri snorted dismissively.
Sarabel, your sister, is presently the first priestess of House Dawerden, is she not?
Shakti pressed.
Will you displace her?
For a time.
You mean to become Matron Mother Dawerden?
Shakti reasoned.
And again, I may wear that title for a time, perhaps,
Kiri replied.
And then I mean to destroy House Dawerden and replace it with a reformed House Zorlaren.
You plot against your own mother,
Shakti said sourly. She was looking straight at Matron Mother Jindia as she made the remark, as if Jindia should be ashamed of herself for even entertaining such a thought. Matricide was not well received in Menzo Berenzon, and particularly not welcomed at that moment, when Shakti sat in conference with her eldest and most powerful daughter seated right beside her. Of course, Matron Mother Jindia didn't have that particular problem.
Matron Mother Xerath has traveled too far along the road of heresy, Matron Mother Jindia stated. Too much influence has she given to mere males. This is not the way of Lolth.
Her sacrilege rained doom upon Kiri Zorlaren,
Kiri added.
There was no proper order of things awaiting the demon army in our city to keep them in line when Matron Mother Beanri sent them to us to defeat the dwarves. It was clear to me from the outset of the dwarven invasion, even before that, when so many of our house were killed in the far-off fields of the Silver Marches, that House Zorlaren was losing the favor of the Spider Queen.
You will betray Matron Mother Xerath, Shakti said.
She will not return to Manzo Baranzon in any case, Kiri shouted. I will save House Sorlaren. We will not become an extension of Bregendy Earth, to be used at the whim of Matron Mother Bayenri. I will never allow that. Our place is here, with an independent Matron Mother Sorlaren sitting on the ruling council.
I have asked you to accept a lot of startling information here,
Matron Mother Jindia apologized to her Hunsrin guests.
You have hinted at a daring plan, Shakti replied. One that pits us against Matron Mother Bayenri and her cadre of powerful allies.
Not so, Jindia argued. She is far too engrossed now in matters beyond the fate of House Doerten. The demon lords walk the ways of the Underdark, and in no small part because of the foolish actions of her own brother. Before the coming of Demogorgon, Matron Mother Bayenri went to great lengths to fortify this phony house she has constructed, and so she expects them to stand on their own. Indeed, they must. Many others, House Barriss and Delarmgo, and some of Matron Mother Bayenri's closest allies, are watching with wary eyes. Lolth will decide the fate of House Doerden, not the army of House Bayenri.
And Lolth is surely with us, Kiri added.
After a long pause, Shakti replied to Jindia.
Your claims are extraordinary.
Then I will prove them to you,
Shakti nodded.
I trust in your confidence in these matters until I can make my case fully to you,
Jindia said.
And do understand that if I am correct in my suspicions, and I assure you that I am, any betrayal of me to Matron Mother Bayenri will also provide her with the excuse she needs to sublimate your house. You come here, after all, willingly and alone in trust, to a known rival of House Doerden. And do not doubt that Matron Mother Bayenri understands that Hunsrin demons were among the horde of fiends who attacked House Doerden. Waging war on House Milarn would bring a smile to the face of Matron Mother Quenthel Bayenri, indeed,
Jindia went on.
But how much wider might that smile grow? If she has an excuse to eliminate both our families, stripping Matron Mother Mez Barriss Armgo of the only allies she might have in her attempt to keep House Bayenri from complete domination.
Shakti Hunsrin spent a long while staring hard at her counterpart. Matron Mother Jindia motioned to her daughter, who went to the side of the room and pulled a blanket aside, revealing a small chest. She hoisted it and carried it back to the gathering, placing it in front of Matron Mother Shakti.
Open it,
Matron Mother Jindia bade her.
But take care, and do not handle any of the contents.
With a wary look to her daughter, Shakti carefully pulled back the lid of the chest, revealing a pile of beautiful gemstones set in fabulous pieces of jewelry. Despite the warning, her hand drifted for one piece, a tiara of brilliant rubies.
Do not,
Matron Mother Jindia warned.
What is this?
Shakti asked, and she closed the lid.
A gift to you, said Jindia. One of faith and continued goodwill between our houses in this most important battle we wage.
Jewelry?
Goods for the world above,
Jindia explained.
I trust you can find some way to deliver them to the proper merchants.
It is not our normal merchandise, Shakti said. We trade food and exotics, items of the Underdark. There is no shortage of gems and jewels on the surface.
She opened the coffer again and glanced in.
No doubt these have great value. They are very beautiful pieces. But these are not my usual wares, and it will be expensive and difficult for me to open proper channels to see them brought to market.
Jindia, Kiri, and Kirnal exchanged knowing, smug looks, and Shakti and Chari realized that they were apparently missing some inside joke.
So you do not want the bounty?
Jindia asked.
I will take them with my gratitude, Matron Mother Jindia, Shakti replied. I will deliver them to the world above and find a place to sell them. I only warn that the profit will be minimal.
They are more exquisite than you realize,
Kirnal Malarn put in.
Must everything be about coin? Matron Mother Jindia said.
Shakti looked at her curiously.
Surely there are other reasons to ply your trade, Jindia added.
Now Shakti was completely at a loss. She looked to her daughter, who could only shrug in confusion.
You will be doing the work of the Spider Queen, Jindia explained. Those are not mere gemstones set in jewelry, Matron Mother Hunsra. They are phylacteries, each possessing the spirit of a slain demon.
Shakti's eyes went wide, and she opened the coffer again and peeked in just for a moment, then closed it tight and put her hand on top of the lid to keep it closed.
A nobleman or noblewoman wearing such a brooch or necklace or tiara will come to find her thoughts darkened, her mind drawn to chaos, her soul possessed to demonic intent,
Matron Mother Jindia said with great relish.
Do you still think it a minor gift?
Kiernel put in snidely.
I will see these to the world above,
Shakti said at length, her glare lingering on the former matron mother of House Kennefin.
For the glory of Lolth. As to the rest, your claims are extraordinary, as I have said. You see the Bayenri alliance is fractured, and believe that our path to destroy Doerden is clear, and that Lolth is on our side,
Kiernel reminded her. Shakti Hunsrin conceded the point with a nod.
It is often hard to discern the true intent of the Spider Queen.
As Jindia clearly tensed up in response, Shakti pointed at the zealous matron mother and added,
Even for her most devout disciples. Yet I do not doubt that Lady Lolth would approve of our plans, should they come to pass.
Matron Mother Jindia relaxed and nodded.
But as to the rest, Shakti finished strongly, bring me proof.
She motioned to her daughter, and the two wasted no time in departing the dungeons of the Malarni fanatics. All the way back to her own compound, Shakti mulled over the lack of choices available to her. The city of Kuzorlaren had posed a direct threat to the trade empire she had built, and she had not lamented the fall of Matron Mother Xerath's trial city. House Doerden didn't really matter to her. She didn't care much about the formal ranking of her house. In fact, she considered her lower position to be an asset as she went about growing her riches and building dependence to her network among the other houses. But the ability to trade beyond the borders of the city, to bring exotic goods to the matron mothers, and to market their wares in places full of riches was not something Shakti Hunsrin would surrender without a fight. If the Bayenris were truly intent on dominating trade to the surface, that was indeed a direct threat to the standing and purpose of House Hunsrin. The question, then, was whether Matron Mother Bayenri desired all of it, all of the power, and all of the commerce.
None can know that you are here, Matron Mother Bayenri said to her guest. It would cause great upset in a city that is already reeling from the march of the Prince of Demons.
She stared at Xerath as she spoke, but the matron mother of House Zor-Lauren was not looking back at her at all, and though she was nodding, it seemed to Quenthal as if Xerath had hardly heard a word that she'd said. Matron Mother Xerath was distracted by the beautiful young woman sitting at the left end of the small table. Not distracted, Quenthal silently corrected herself. Enchanted. The young woman's hair was smooth and thick, a startling white contrast to her coal-black skin. It curled teasingly between her perfect breasts, which were barely covered by the plunging cut of her soft purple dress, a simple silk affair that clung to her body's every curve. It took Quenthal a long while to realize that she too was staring hopelessly at the beautiful young woman.
Who is this?
Matron Mother Xerath practically demanded.
The child of Gromph,
Quenthal replied, and she hoped that putting the now deposed archmage's name on Ivanel would somehow lessen Xerath's trance. Even still, a long while passed before Xerath was able to turn back to Quenthal. Even then,
It seemed as if Ivanel herself had released Xerath from the trance, as evidenced by a little giggle Ivanel offered as Xerath turned away.
I did not know Gromfad and Manelin Fay of House Fay Branch, Ivanel interrupted, an incredible breach of etiquette.
Xerath's face screwed up with confusion as she swung back to view the young woman, who was surely near 20 years of age, if not older. Xerath had known about Manolan's pregnancy. The visitation of the Avatar of Loth upon House Fay Branch in the Festival of the Founding was common gossip that had followed House Zorlarin across the Underdark. Xerath knew that Manolan Fay was now in House Bayenri. She had seen the High Priestess while being escorted through the royal chambers to come to this very audience.
The child of Gromth and Manolan Fay? Xerath asked Quenthal.
Yes, Ivanel answered, again out of turn, and this time interrupting the matron mother as Quenthal began to answer.
She is an impetuous sort, Quenthal said dryly, and cast a glance at the young woman. And a distracting one, Quenthal added, when she saw that Xerath's eyes were once again held by the young woman.
Yes, Xerath said absently.
May I go, matron mother? Ivanel asked.
Please do, Quenthal replied, trying to sound sweet.
Ivanel rose, and Xerath's eyes rose with her. Much of her legs slipped free from the high slit in her simple but elegant gown, and Xerath gave a little gasp as she spun away and moved to the room's door. She was barefoot, Quenthal and Xerath both noted then, and somehow that seemed even more fitting for this one, like a promise of something unbridled and so very pleasing. The door closed, but it took Xerath a while to compose herself and look back at her host.
She is quite lovely, Matron Mother Xerath said,
and Quenthal understood well that her counterpart had to pause there to search for the right word, because lovely certainly didn't seem sufficient.
Do you plan to tell them I perished in the fight? Xerath asked.
And she shook her head and seemed removed from the enchantment of Ivanel then, and apparently had forgotten all around the surprising revelation of that one's parentage. Was Ivanel's appearance that distracting, Quenthal wondered, or had the young witch cast a spell to remove thought from Xerath's mind?
I do not believe that to be our best course, if I may offer advice, matron mother, Xerath rambled on.
Was Ivanel powerful enough to do that so casually? To an accomplished matron mother of a powerful house? Yes, she was, Quenthal realized with a sigh.
If you have other designs, Xerath offered somewhat sheepishly. No, no, my mind was otherwhere. So much has happened and so much is yet to come. You are correct, my friend, of course. Matron Mother Xerath is not to be robbed from the ranks of Menzoberranzan, hardly that. You will circle and reside outside the city, and together we will find opportunity. While my children ascend, Xerath added, with her eyes sparkling. High Priestess Kiri is in House Doerten?
Xerath nodded, then asked.
First Priestess? Sarabelle is First Priestess, Quenthal corrected her somewhat sternly. And that is something Kiri must understand and accept. Yes, matron mother,
Xerath said, and respectfully lowered her eyes. It was no surprise. Though Kiri was far more accomplished than Sarabelle, and much older, indeed the eldest daughter of the house, Sarabelle had something that Kiri did not, a Bayenri husband.
When time for ascent comes, who will it be?
Xerath asked.
That is a discussion for another day, Quenthal replied. I know that you favor Kiri. Sarabelle is a bit of a dullard, I must admit, said Xerath. It pains me to say that. But would that Loth had accepted her as my sacrifice instead of Parabrach, my third-born son. Pray to Loth to forgive your words, Quenthal said half-jokingly, but only half. I wish I could join you at the ruling council, Xerath said, if only to see the face of the witch Mez Barris when she is formally told that Sabrak Zorlarin will assume the mantle of Archmage of Menzoberranzan.
You will witness the ceremony, Quenthel promised, and Matron Mother Xerath swelled with pride.
They are such petty creatures, Evenel remarked to Manolan Fay in the anteroom,
where the young upstart had enchanted a scrying pool so that she could look in on the conversation in the Bayenry audience chamber.
They puff and preen over the most unremarkable and fleeting things.
Evenel gave a sigh and turned to her mother, who stood staring.
How did you do that? Manolan Fay asked. How do you do that? What? All the time, the woman went on. In there, with Matron Mother Xerath, with all you see, or all who see you. Man and woman alike, taken aback, thrown from their guard with a simple glimpse upon you. Why, mother, do you not think me beautiful?
Evenel coyly asked. Manolan Fay could only shake her head in reply, her voice barely a whisper.
Many drow are beautiful.
She kept shaking her head. She knew there had to be more to it than that.
Your mother, Matron Mother Burton, Evenel began. She is a painter, yes? I have heard that some of her portraits hang in this very house. She is quite talented, yes. Get her, then. I wish to pose for her. I do not know that she will, Evenel said. Tell her the Matron Mother insists upon it, and that she will be well rewarded.
Manolan Fay seemed off balance then. Matron Mother Burton had not even seen this child yet, her granddaughter, who should be no more than a toddler.
Matron Mother Burton was told of me by the Avatar of Loth in the parlor of her own house, Evenel reminded Manolan Fay. Tell her that she will come to House Bayenry the day after tomorrow, after Tsabrak is named as Archmage of Menzo Berenzon, and she will begin her work. And she will return every day thereafter, until it is completed.
Manolan Fay stared blankly.
I am not asking you,
Evenel warned. She turned back to the scrying pool, then sighed with disgust and cleared the image from the water with a wave of her hand.
So boring and petty, she said.
As she pushed past Manolan Fay and skipped to the door at the far end of the room.
You speak of the Matron Mother of Menzo Berenzon, Manolan Fay reminded her. Yes,
Evenel answered.
And why?
She shrugged, winked, and exited, leaving Manolan Fay to stand there dumbfounded with that simple yet devastating question hanging over her. She glanced back at the unremarkable water in the bowl. Manolan Fay couldn't begin to cast a clairvoyance Dwyamer powerful enough to get past Quenthel Bayenry's wards, as Evenel had so easily done. She considered the conversation in the other room, the incessant plotting and conniving, the desperate pursuit of a goal that would often be nothing more than the platform from which to pursue another goal.
Why?
She whispered through her own frown. From the balcony of House Towerden, the Zorlaran sisters watched the ceremony across the way. Ravel and Jameis were there on the grounds of Sorcerre, as was Tiago, whose presence had been commanded by the Matron Mother.
It was always Matron Mother Xerath's dream, of course,
Sarabel said when a great burst of fireworks exploded up by the ceiling, shooting from the alcove of Tir Bresh, the raised region that held the three houses of the Drow Academy.
To see a Zorlaran rightfully in place as the Archmage of Menzo Berenzon.
Better in these times than not at all, I suppose, said a less than enthusiastic Kyrie.
Better regardless,
Sarabel corrected.
Why would a Zorlaran noble wear such a frown on this day? Dear sister, shut up.
Sarabel sputtered for a moment before declaring,
I am the first priestess of House Towerden.
Kyrie turned slowly to regard her and looked her up and down. If she was impressed at all, she surely didn't show it.
House Towerden,
she whispered quietly and dismissively.
It was a terrible fight?
Sarabel probed, trying to find the root of her sister's anger. Kyrie looked at her with puzzlement. In Cusor Lauren, Sarabel clarified.
Hardly a fight, the older sister replied. She looked back to the distant ceremony.
More like a whimper and a retreat.
Do you think Matron Mother Xerith erred in surrendering? I think that if all the Zorlaren nobles were in Cusor Lauren as they should have been, and if Menzo Berenzon had offered proper support instead of sending an army of demon beasts too busy chewing the flesh of each other to understand our enemy, then you and I would not be having this conversation.
The blunt words and determined tone set Sarabel back on her heels.
So now here we are, Kiri went on. Anointed nobles of the wicked joke that is named House de Werden.
Whose matron mother sits on the ruling council, Sarabel reminded her, and Kiri snorted.
Matron Mother Darthir's reign will be short, Sarabel added.
Oh, indeed, said Kiri. She backed away a step and looked Sarabel up and down, smiling as if she knew something her sister did not.
And you are first priestess Sarabel, whose tenure will be long if you are wise.
Sarabel felt very small suddenly and very vulnerable. Her thoughts went back to her childhood, when Kiri used to discipline her mightily and mercilessly and often, so often. Under Kiri's stern guidance, even the slightest infraction of etiquette would get the child Sarabel beaten to unconsciousness or bitten by a snake-headed scourge. Just looking at Kiri then made Sarabel's blood burn with the memories of that awful poison, made her throat dry at the feeling of the fiery vomit burning all the way up her throat. Whose tenure, Kiri had said, and not whose reign. Sarabel's thoughts whirled in 100 different directions. She wanted to speak with Matron Mother Xerith, but she knew Xerith would be secretly out of the city that same day and might not return for years, or decades even. She thought she should go to the Matron Mother, but realized that Quenthel Bayenri would more likely murder her than aid her. Tiago might be the answer, she realized, and that thought troubled her more than any other. Her only path to the throne of House de Werden would be beside Tiago, and he, not she, would have to forge the trail. Sarabel hated that thought, hated the notion that Tiago would hold sway over her, even if she realized her highest ambition and became Matron Mother de Werden. How many years would she have to suffer him beside her? A loud boom shook the balcony and the whole of the city, the final burst of celebratory fireworks for the appointment of Archmage Sabrax Orlaren. Sarabel again glanced at Kiri, whose eyes gleamed as she fixed them upon the distant ceremony. Sarabel was not close to her brother Sabrak in any way. He was older, the eldest of the Zorlaren children, but only a few years senior to Kiri. The two of them had been more parent than sibling to Sarabel and Ravel, with Berylip in the middle, always pitting the older Zorlaren children against the younger two, particularly against Sarabel. It occurred to Sarabel only then that with Sabrak's ascension and Matron Mother Xerith's expected long absence, Kiri had just gained a mighty ally. Perhaps, Sarabel thought, she would be wise not to covet the untimely demise of Matron Mother Darthir de Werden.